This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Speaking of Chris Canty, this is the closest I will ever get to feeling like one Mr. Chris Canty on February 4th, 2012, on the eve of the Super Bowl, the anxiety, going through your final preparations, because tomorrow's the big day, David.
Tomorrow is
the DiPietro Super Bowl, my friend.
I was thinking about only having, like, clear broth today.
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to shrink the stomach. Don't get crazy. Just be what you would normally eat.
Well, I mean, I've been eating unbelievably healthy and well lately. So just continue with that, and then tomorrow, turn it up.
Yeah, because this is what happens. And this is my brother-in-law made this mistake. When I attacked the 5-pound sandwich in the 20 minutes, the eating contest.
Yeah.
He decided that he wasn't going to eat. He was going to starve himself before he tried to tackle the sandwich. I didn't. I woke up, had breakfast, everything else, went about my day, and I destroyed it. He, halfway through it, was dry heaving, trying to roll up the meat.
That's an attractive look on the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it was embarrassed. He embarrassed himself. And he knows.
I was thinking about this, and I mentioned to the kids last night, they thought it was a great idea. And I don't know your take on this. I was thinking about having pumpkin pie for breakfast tomorrow.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Really? I thought you were going to talk me off the ledge from that.
Like, no.
I think I want to eat myself sick tomorrow is the goal.
Oh, don't eat yourself sick. I would say spread it out. Maybe start a little bit early. I like the pumpkin pie in the morning.
Like a 9:15 pumpkin pie.
I can't disagree with that. I like that idea.
Then you head into a light lunch, and then you start with appetizers at like 2. We have a big thing of shrimp we're going to have. I mean, there's a lot going on here tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot going on. I mean, preparations have started already this morning. I'm cleaning out refrigerator space because I got to dry brine the turkey. I got a whole turkey. I got turkey breasts. I got a ham. I bought way too many mushrooms to stuff. I got a little bit crazy at the grocery store. I'm going to be honest. Got a little bit nuts because I want some leftovers. Lots of leftovers.
Well, this is an eating weekend, and this is a football weekend as well. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year because when you combine, we talk about this every year, and then there's the conversation, and it rings true, Rick. You combine delicious food, not a lot to do outside the house, and nonstop football. That's the makings of a pretty great weekend, isn't it?
This is the best holiday, and I don't want to hear any different. This is better than any other holiday, Christmas, 8 crazy nights of Hanukkah. Thanksgiving is by far the best.
Yeah. No, I would agree.
Especially for you. I mean, looking at tomorrow's games, I mean, look at the fact that you got Washington playing Dallas and the opportunity for the Giants to end up in first place on Monday.
It's crazy.
It's huge.
It's crazy. Oh, but it's true. And I think Dallas wins that game, and I'll be rooting for Washington. And, of course, Seattle Monday night, and, of course, the Giants on Sunday. This is a big game for the Giants. Like, when was the last time you headed into a game with two thoughts, Rick? An 800-919-3776. And you want to call and wish us a happy Thanksgiving, please. Get into the Giants conversation. Of course, that's on the table as well. 800-919-3776. And that is going into a game, the expectation is that you're going to win. Washington was kind of a flip of a coin. You could win. Washington stinks. You've had your way with them, but you didn't feel confident. They just named a new quarterback in Cincinnati. Somebody by the name of Brandon Allen is going to start in this game. The Giants need to win this football game on Sunday.
Yeah, and this is a game you look at and say that talent-wise, this is a game the Giants should win. And you would be heartbroken if they didn't.
Heartbroken.
You'd be upset.
Heartbroken is the appropriate term. And I don't know if you heard this. And
I heard
on the
it.
Station, too.
I heard it.
And I actually, Gordon did it this morning. Other shows did it yesterday. It actually bothered me. Do you want to win this game? Do you want to win the division? Or do you want to play for the best draft pick? What is the goal of sports? The goal is to make the postseason. That's actually within reach. You see that as a distinct possibility. Now you want to lose games and wind up with the 5th pick in the draft? What is happening here?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a ridiculous take. You want this Giants team to make the playoffs, and that's not even debatable. It's not. I mean, to go from where they started with the new head coach and in all the adversity that all these teams dealt with, new system, new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, new head coach that some people had some questions about after the press conference and everything else, you know, would this be another one of those Bill Belichick guys that fails as a head coach? In everything you've seen from him and this team is they continually look like they're getting better. Every week you turn the TV on, they look like they're getting better. Your young quarterback, last couple games, hasn't turned the football over. He's getting better. This team is headed in the right direction. That only, the belief inside of that locker room only grows more and more as they continue to win games. And ultimately, fingers crossed for you as a Giants fan, they win this division and make the playoffs and host the playoff game.
Yeah, and apparently some people think that that would be a bad thing. How is winning the division? How is making the playoffs? How is having a game? You're telling me, look, Tampa just came here. You don't think the Giants could beat Tampa? You think Seattle's a team that is – and again, these teams probably come in and beat the Giants, and that's fine. You get experience for your head coach. You get experience for your young players. You get experience for your quarterback. You play big, meaningful football. I mean, that – I can't believe there's the take of, well, it'll be better if the Giants just wound up, you know, losing out, going 3-13 or 4-12 and winding up with a top 10 pick. Why? What's the rationale behind that?
Well, the rationale is hope. Is the hope that the better the draft pick, the better the player, he steps in and makes an immediate impact. Which I think at this point is, I mean, that's not what you're looking to do.
That's a horrendous take.
Yeah, I mean, especially because, like you mentioned, we talked about this yesterday. When you look at the NFC, I mean, there's some good teams, but who knows on any given Sunday what could happen.
Did the Giants compete up and down the field, and were they the better team than Tampa Bay in a game?
The Giants have been competitive in every single game except a weird San Francisco 49ers game. That's it.
Correct. But, I mean, when they played the Rams, they I think the Giants' defense played the best against the Rams I've seen all year.
The Giants' defense has been good. The Giants' defense has been the reason why you've been in these games. And now when you mix in the fact that your young quarterback isn't turning the football over, and you like some of the things that they're doing with the RPOs and everything else. Yeah, I mean, this, who knows what the hell can happen? It's the reason why you play. Not to set yourself up for a top 10 draft pick.
I can't believe that's a take, and I've heard it all over the place, not just on this station. I've heard it other places as well, and I just don't understand why. And on top of that, you're guaranteeing me that if you have the 8th selection, that's going to be a better player than 19? You don't even know that's the case.
Now, I have no idea.
If it's two, if it's Justin Fields, and people say, well, you just want the Giants to win every game. Rick, I wanted them to lose the game to Washington last year. I wanted Chase Young. That was the direction I wanted to head in. So I'm not of this mindset that winning at all else is the absolute magic ending that has to happen every single week. But when you see a potential of winning a division and it's within your grasp, you go for it. You never know when you're going to get another chance to get that.
Yeah, I think you're at a spot, too, when you look at this team. I mean, do they need help? Yeah, I mean, they're going to need more help. Like, they're not by any means a finished product.
No.
But the way that they're trending is, I wouldn't say I would, and I don't care who the team ends up being, if the Giants win the NFC East and they host a playoff game, I wouldn't sit here and bang the drum that the Giants are going to upset whoever they play. But, I mean, who knows what the heck hell can happen?
Who knows what happens?
I feel better about
what happens.
I feel better about that in this team getting that kind of experience than going into Sunday's game or for the last 6 weeks of the season, hoping my team is going to lose so I can get a better draft pick.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't, and it really bothers me. And they have a meaningful game and a nerve-wracking game. Because this is, I mean, if the Giants lose, and I thought I was past this, and clearly I'm not. If they lose this game on Sunday, it's tragic for this team. I mean, for the future of Giants football, it's probably not that big a deal. But if you've won two in a row, you've looked good, you're highly competitive in a horrendous division, this is the most winnable game you've had in a very long time. If you go out there and can't find a way to beat Cincinnati, and they have to be down too after their franchise quarterback has a really catastrophic injury. If you can't find a way to focus off of a bye and win this game, you know, I think you have a lot more questions than if you go ahead and win the division.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, it's Cincinnati, once Joe Burrow got hurt in that game, Cincinnati was done. It fell apart. I mean, they couldn't move the football at all. And, you know, who knows how the psyche is in that locker room. But the Giants coming out of a bye, having played the way that they played over the last couple games, this is knowing it's for first place. Or it could be first place, depending on what happens with the Washington-Dallas game. Yeah, I mean, I would be destroyed. How could you even consider? Like, I understand. Like, as a Jets fan, I'm rooting for them to lose.
That's because different. You're playing for the quarterback. You are playing for the hope and the franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. What am I playing for? Pick 9 instead of 15, 9 instead of 18, 7 instead of 20? No, Of course not. It's a moronic take.
Yeah, what's that player going to be too? It's going to be a good player. If it's 8 or 19 or 15 or whatever it ends up being, it's going to be a good player. But you just addressed what you thought would be or you think is going to be your left tackle, right? If you do make the playoffs, you feel good about your quarterback. You're going to get your best offensive player back next season, who, oh, by the way, is missing with a torn ACL.
Yep. So I mean, a safety you have big expectations for. I mean, I think it's a top safety in the draft this past year. Looks like he's going to make his debut this week.
And if you don't have one of those, top five picks, like the tackle out of Oregon's going to be gone.
Yeah, way gone.
The quarterbacks will be gone 1 and 2.
Now, look, you still could wind up with a top five pick. Like you could crumble and wind up with, but I don't understand how that can be the tact. How can the tact be? I mean, would you rather wind up with a kid from Oregon and go 1 and 5 in your last six, or go 3 and 3 or 4 and 2 and get to the postseason? How can it be? Give me the kid from Oregon. I don't understand. How is that possible?
Well, here's the thing, though. If you looked at this Giants team, right, and you felt like what you've seen over the last couple weeks isn't sustainable, and there's no real chance that they can get to the 6 wins that it's going to take to win this division, or you just felt that much better about Dallas or that much better about the Washington football team, or, I mean, I don't know how you could feel good about Philadelphia now, but you felt like there was really, no matter how well they play over the next 6 weeks, they weren't going to get to the number they needed to win this division, then maybe, and still I would have a hard time buying into it, I could understand your mindset or your thinking. But when you look at all these teams competing for the NFC East, the team playing the best football right now is the New York Giants. And I don't think you can debate that.
Yes. Yes. They are playing the best football in this division right now. Philadelphia, look, they're all bad teams. I think we agree with that. Philadelphia stinks. Dallas is coming off a terrific game. And even though Washington won that game, are you scared by them? Did they put fear into you watching that team? I mean, they barely edged out a bad Cincinnati team without their star player.
Yeah, no, they don't scare me at all.
This division is so up for grabs. And you say if you couldn't get to 3 and 3, you got Cleveland, who's a team you can beat. You got Cincinnati, who's a team you should beat. Listen, Baltimore's not exactly playing the greatest football that you've seen. You got Dallas the last game of the season. You have winnable games on this schedule. You can, without a doubt, you can get to 6.
Yeah, and if that's what you think, you should be rooting like hell for your team to win these games and win the division.
And
forget about the draft pick.
If you're not, you just don't get it. Let's get to some of the calls, because I can't even believe this was a conversation going on. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Diego in Queens. Diego, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on, Diego?
All right, listen, guys, I'm a diehard Jets fan, right? But my brother and my dad are huge Giants fans. So I told them this a couple years ago, but I'm telling you, I just have a question before I say what I'm going to say. Let's say that the Giants win the division, let's say 5-11, and they make the playoffs. Do you still go in order of worst record into the draft?
Yeah. I mean, if you lost that game, so there's what? There's 32 teams. There's 14 spots. So you would you would pick 18th, I guess, if you lost that game.
Okay, so I get what you're saying, but in my opinion, I think that the Giants, it's tough. I think they're going to beat Cincinnati, and then I don't see them winning another game. Maybe Cleveland, and I don't know about the Dallas game at the end, but in my opinion, if you have a top five pick, which I see the Giants getting, Most of those teams are going to take quarterbacks. This kid from Oregon is unbelievable.
You're not going to get him. Unless you're picking top three, you're not getting him.
Okay, so what about Michael Parsons? This guy's like a Khalil Mack coming out of Buffalo. This kid's unbelievable. You're going to tell me you don't want that as a Giants fan?
Well, do I want that at the expense of a postseason?
But you're going to be done in and out. You have no shot in the playoffs. So what is that going to do for your team?
How do you know you have no shot in the playoffs?
Just like Seattle had no shot in the playoffs when they were 7-9?
You're going to come in at a 7 seed. Who are you going to face? Who's number 2 in the NFC? Maybe
you're not going to be the 7 seed. First of all, Diego, you're not going to be the 7 seed.
You're coming
you're
as
gonna
a 4
be
seed.
You're going to be the 4 seed.
Which means you end up probably playing, right now how it currently stands, you play the Seahawks.
Okay.
Because right now the Rams...
Listen, any game, Rick, you're probably going to lose. You're going to be underdog, and the expectation is going to be that you're going to lose. But I don't. That's not a That's not a terrifying game. I mean, Seattle's defense stinks.
Yeah, but plus you have no idea what this team is going to look like by the end of the season. I mean, they're getting better every single week. Who knows what this team will look like by the end of the season? You're going to get, like you mentioned, you get McKinney, you'll plug him in.
Yep, Zimenez comes back this week.
I wouldn't have high expectations for him,
No.
Early on, but who knows by the end of the season what he looks like and what he brings to this defense. I mean, this is a really competitive team. Are they a good team?
No.
They're not a good team.
When you look at the good teams, they're not a good team.
Yeah, but this is a team that could surprise you against any of the teams that you mentioned. Could they beat Cleveland? Yeah, I think they could beat Cleveland. They should beat Cincinnati.
Yep. They could beat Dallas.
I like my chances against Dallas.
Could they beat Arizona? It's unlikely, but who knows?
Yeah, but you have no idea. Like, this team right now is trending in the right direction. So rather than root for them to lose, who knows what this team... Like, there have been plenty of teams that as the season progresses, just get better and better. Like, their offense gets better and better, or their defense gets better and better. And how you feel about them now could be completely different how you feel about them after Week 17.
That's right. And if you go 4-2 down the stretch and wind up winning this division, you got to figure that they're going to play decent football the tail end of the season. All right, Don in Jersey. Good morning, Don in Jersey. How are you?
I'm very aggravated.
With who?
Just with the general public, not you
okay.
in particular. I'm just disgusted, really. This whole tanking thing just irritates me. I'm trying to be here with my twins. Enjoy a nice morning of my twins ignoring me because the computer's on. Say hi, Jalen.
Hi, Jalen.
you got more out of her than I've been able to because they're sitting there in their laptop.
She's a big fan of DCR, Don, if you didn't know. Yeah.
But no, because I heard Gordon talking about this morning. It's been coming up. Oh, it's better for the Giants to miss the playoffs because they'll get a better pick. Can we just play football, please? I'm just getting tired of all this garbage because you don't do these things in a vacuum, right? So you want the Giants to lose to get a better pick. But how do you lose? You lose because your quarterback isn't doing the job. You lose because your first-round pick is a pylon. You lose because the defense is overrated. You lose because, Evan Ingram's dropping balls. So is that a good thing moving forward to realize that your team can't beat Cincinnati, can't beat Cleveland, can't beat Baltimore, can't beat Dallas to try to find a way to get to the playoffs? So I get one better pick? Instead of this team growing and getting better and making the playoffs, even at 6-10 and getting the experience of going to the playoffs. And if they go to the playoffs, do you know what that means? Week 17, Giants-Dallas probably gets shifted to a Sunday night game in prime time, winner take all. You don't want your team to get that experience just because you want to pick 7th instead of 15?
Because you need Micah Parsons desperately from Penn State.
And the people that are saying this don't even know the players that they want. Because in New York, most people don't watch college football. They care about, like what Todd McShay says about it months later, and all of us salivate to get a player that they never saw play. So can we all just grow up and watch our team play football and try to make the playoffs? For God's sakes, especially since it's a team that at 10-6 and 9-7 won Super Bowls. But I don't care if they get crushed 40-0 in the first round of the playoffs. I want the experience of going to the postseason and getting better instead of rooting for the players that are trying to improve to be bad so that we can get a pick that we don't even know exists right now.
Yeah. So you're 100% right. And this, when I saw Don in Jersey, of course, it's the great Don LaGreca from the Michael Kay Show.
No, you gave it away.
Well, yes, now I did. I'm sorry for that. Is that you were going to call and you were going to disagree and it was going to break my heart because it's such a hideous take, Don.
Dave, have some respect.
Well, that's why I was concerned.
No, but occasionally, turn on Yes or the radio and listen to the great Don, Michael Kay, and Peter Rosenberg, and you'd know that Don was going to call in and agree with us.
I do have to go though, but I love you all.
Happy Thanksgiving, too, Don.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Good.
Good luck with the YouTube channel.
I'm so pleased. Thank you, Don. That was a take that he had, because anything else would have broken my heart.
Yeah, but that's again, and you heard how frustrated he was. I don't understand. Like, why can't you just enjoy what you're seeing on the field?
Because nobody can.
Like, enjoy the win. That's tangible. You're getting wins. You have no idea who's going to be available, what the pick's going to be, and you could still screw the pick up. If I asked you, right, you had the 4th overall pick. The Jets had the 11th pick. Would you rather have Andrew Thomas or Mekhi Becton?
Mekhi Becton.
Okay, that was the 11th pick.
But, I mean, listen, you could run through draft picks that the Giants have had over the last decade, and I could show you fails all over the place. We had a question from Andy and Merrick the other day about Cedric Jones, who I think was the 5th overall pick. He stunk. They found out he was blind in an eye after the draft.
Would you rather have Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, or CeeDee Lamb?
CeeDee Lamb.
Okay, CeeDee Lamb went 17th.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you rather have Chase Claypool? Would you rather have Chase Claypool or Henry Ruggs?
Ooh, Claypool.
Would you rather have Justin Herbert? And I like Joe Burrow, but would you rather have Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow?
No, that's not a good question. Would the Washington Reds, would the Washington football team rather have Chase Young, who's great,
yes,
or Justin Herbert?
Yes. Yes.
So you never know. You root for your team to win, and if for some reason that they don't, and you get, you know, a higher draft pick, great. But Don's 100% right. The reason why you would lose to Cincinnati is because, for some reason, Daniel Jones reverts back to being bad Daniel Jones, and he's turned the football over.
It'd have to be really bad Daniel Jones. Now, look, if the Giants, what are they? They've played what? They're 3-7. If they were 1-9, and you knew that Daniel Jones stunk, would I go out there and root for them to lose to Cincinnati? Probably so. I probably would. And maybe that makes me a bad fan. That would probably be my mindset. No way now. The division is within reach. I have 6 games to go. I go 4-2. I'm winning this division. There's no reason you should root against them. None. You're a fraud if that's what you do.
Especially because they're playing really good football. If they were trending in the opposite direction, I could... Again, I can't even say I would get it. Because, I mean, I'm sitting here as a Jets fan looking at my team and what a mess it is. My quarterback's not even playing. I got to watch Joe Flacco. And we can't win anyway.
And it makes sense to me that you would root against your team. Like, right now it does. Because you have a generational quarterback, and Mike Tannenbaum joins us every week and says, I asked him yesterday, of all the quarterbacks from last year's draft and this year's draft, including Burrow, including Herbert, who looks unbelievable, who would you take? He still says Lawrence. So I understand that point.
Yeah, but we're also, here's the thing though too, Dave. We're also on the verge of having not only a new quarterback, but fingers crossed, a completely new coaching staff. This is year one of your head coach. And so far, everything he's done, we've liked. You don't think it would be great for him and what he's trying to build here for his team to somehow find a way to win the NFC East and host a playoff game? To kind of just to hammer home all the things he's been preaching?
I think it'd be great.
It would be exactly what you would want.
And I'm actually excited for this game. And you have to be. Really, if you are of the mindset, And you're a real Giants fan that is going into these 6 games hoping they lose, then find another team. That would be my message. Another team.
Let me ask you a question. You're a Rangers fan, right? A bit of a Fugazi Rangers fan.
Stop it.
Okay. Now, though, you tried to spin it after you lost. I mean, you got embarrassed in the play-in by Carolina, which was embarrassing. But it wasn't like, okay, if we... Like, how pissed would you have been if all of a sudden now you lose to Carolina the way that you lost, and you go into the lottery and you don't get the first overall pick? You'd have been so upset that they lost, but
yes,
we lost for that.
Yes,
I mean that's a different situation. Like, it's the same as the Joe. We're gonna get the first overall pick. This isn't like, I mean, this is, we're gonna get Trevor Lawrence if we lose all these games. If you don't win the division, who knows who you end up getting?
You have no idea.
Like, we definitively know, if we lose all of our games, we will end up with Trevor Lawrence.
You will wind up with anybody you want in this draft, correct?
If you don't win this division, you're still better than Jacksonville. So you're not going to get the quarterback that you want.
No.
And who knows where you end up?
No, you're going to wind up with 6-8, probably.
How many games is Cincinnati going to win now?
Yeah, probably none.
Okay. So, I mean...
So, at best case, you're 4, and probably not.
Why would you want the opportunity to see your team play in a playoff game? And who
it's
knows what could happen?
It's
but who knows what could happen? What's more exciting, watching your team play a playoff game at home and let it be decided on the field, or sitting there watching the NFL draft, taking a player that you've seen a couple times, maybe you watched on YouTube, or you're buying into what Mellon and Todd McShay are telling you? Come on, man.
Yeah,
see Daniel Jones and see Daniel Jones in that situation and how he responds? That's exactly what I would want to see.
And even if you lose that game handily, like even if you lose it, like Don said, 40-0, but you know what? I don't think that'll happen. I really don't. I mean, do any of the teams that the Giants could potentially play terrify you?
No, and plus, on top of it, you would have answered the question, do I have a quarterback? If you find a way to continue to win these games and win the division, I would say it's safe to say that you have your quarterback.
Yes. And you know what the worst thing that happens is? The worst is you wind up with the sixth pick and you're not sure.
Exactly. You lose. You don't win the division.
You don't wind up with Fields. You don't wind up with
Lawrence.
You get a
better pick.
Yep.
And you don't get the quarterback.
Now you're in no man's land.
No man's land.
Terrible. Ira Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. Happy Thanksgiving. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. And you know what? Rick, you're 100% right. And Don, I love Don. He's 100% right. Dave, you got to embrace this, man. Because as a Jets fan, if the quarterback situation was straightened out and, you know, I wasn't worried about Trevor Lawrence, I definitely want to win the division. I don't care if I win the division at 6-10 with a first-year head coach. Because the big thing here is, first of all, if you get into the dance and you happen to win a wild card game, you know, that's great. That's gravy. But for a first-time coach to get to a division title, regardless of the record, get in the playoffs, because he's building a program, and everything Rick and Dave said, they're right. And Don said, you can't root for the Giants to lose. I'm envious that you're playing a meaningful football game at this point of the year with a point of, you got a foundation you're building. You know, to root against the Giants to get the fourth or the sixth or the third pick is irrelevant. Daniel Jones goes out there and plays well. You got a lot of answers. You got your quarterback is answered, your head coach is answered, and you got a program that's being built the right way. So to me, it's a win-win. I mean, you go out and lose the rest of the games. You got a lot of questions about the coach and the quarterback.
Yeah, you do. Now, I will say this, though. I don't think I have questions about the coach. Even if you went out and, I mean, I guess if you went 0-6.
No, but Dave, I think to Ira's point, you as a fan, we're not inside that building, right? So who knows how the offensive line's reacting to Colombo being fired and everything else. I think Ira's speaking to, it doesn't matter you as a fan, how you feel about the head coach. It matters how those 53 guys inside that locker room feel about their head coach. And if there's anyone on the fence about the head coach, if they all of a sudden find their way into the playoffs, you're going to go from being on the fence to, okay, I'm all in with Joe Judge.
Of course.
Because what he's doing is working. Even if you disagree with it, as long as there's results, you're buying in. You may not like it, but if I'm going to win a division and host a playoff game, I'll suck it up. I'll buy into it. And you look at these teams you might play, too. The Rams, do you trust Jared Goff?
Nobody scares me. I guess the Saints would, but you're not going to play the Saints in the first round.
No.
There's no way. So like I said before, and thanks for the call, Aaron. Very happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. I mean, the Rams, the Cardinals, these teams are not scary.
No, and who knows? I mean, listen, you're talking about a Seahawks team, too. We love Russell Wilson. Their defense isn't very good. I mean, and they've had, I mean, they beat Minnesota by 1 point. I mean, they
beat New England because of that last play of the game.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is, again, Russell Wilson scares the hell out of me, but still, that as a team, as a, you know, with the defense, no.
Would you feel differently if the Giants were 5-5 right now? Like, I wonder if all the people saying, no, just lose and wind up with the pick would feel differently if they were 5-5. Because you could easily make the argument they should be 5-5.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, of course they would feel different because you'd be winning the division right now.
Right. But point being, like, you should be 5-5 or 6-4. You shouldn't be sitting here at 3-7 right now.
Yeah, but why not trust your team?
Like, nobody does.
But I don't get it. Like, over the last couple weeks, they've given you no reason not to trust them. They're playing really good football. Defense is surprisingly good. Your quarterback's not turning the football over. I mean, just get on board,
enjoy
man.
It.
Stop trying to fight it.
If you want to lose to Brandon Allen, like I said, and I mean it distinctly, go find another team to root for.
Yeah, I mean, you have no business.
Because you don't get it. You know what you're saying? I don't understand what being a fan is all about. If you want to lose to Brandon Allen and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, you're pretty much saying my team stinks.
Beyond stinks. You're 5-point favorites.
Yeah, but that's essentially what you're saying. Is my team, I have no faith in my team, we stink.
That made Cincinnati relevant and or worth watching was their quarterback, who is no longer there.
Yeah, you saw what it looked like when he got hurt.
I think that's why Ryan Finley's not starting in this game.
Clearly. I mean, their offense was putrid.
Putrid. But their defense stinks. I mean, you should put up points. Their offensive line stinks. You should get to their quarterback. God knows what the quarterback is. They have some weapons.
Yeah, but, you have to have a quarterback to get the ball to the weapons. And who knows how they... That could be a completely deflated team now that they just watched their
quarterback. They could go out there and walk through, go through the motions, and you could beat them by 20 points.
You come out fresh off a bye, and you step on their throat immediately.
Immediately.
Don't give them any reason to believe that they compete in this game.
And then they will tap out quickly. Let's go to John in Valley Stream quick, and then we'll get to a break quickly. John, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? Man, I just wanted to let you know I've been working through this whole pandemic, and I've been listening to you guys every day, day in and day out. Just wanted to thank you for keeping the spirits up. I feel like I drive a truck for a living, and I feel like I got my buddies in a truck when you guys are on. As far as the Giants go, I'm a straight fan. I want to see them in the playoffs. I want to see what they can do. Once we get to the postseason, it's a 0-0 record. And I had a quick question for Rick. Rick, I'm a new hockey fan, especially after watching this last season with the Islanders and whatnot. Wanted to know, as a goalie, in your time, who was, the most ferocious? Who was the guy that kind of, when you saw him break away, it made you the most nervous? And who should I be looking for in that caliber, as a new fan and watching hockey and trying to learn the game.
As a new fan,
have a happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. As a new fan, obviously, the greatest scorer of all time, and I do believe he finally does get to Gretzky's number, is Alexander Ovechkin.
You think he gets to Gretzky, huh?
Oh, yeah. The dude is he's special, man. He's especially with how good. You look at how good the goalies are nowadays, and the consistency of Alexander Ovechkin is scary how good he is. Most explosive player, I think we'd all agree, is probably Connor McDavid, right?
Yeah,
most fun to watch. That guy, to see how fast he is with the puck on his stick is crazy. Back in my day, the guy who owned me the most was probably Pavel Bure.
I don't think you're alone, though.
Dude, he was... That was... Looking back, as disappointed as I was with how everything turned out, I got to play... that was like the... That era of player, I got the tail end of it. I got to play against some really good players, man. I got Lemieux, I got Bure, I got Fedorov. I got to play against Curtis Joseph. Mm-hmm. All the guys I grew up idolizing, I got to play, and I got to play with them too in the Olympics, which
was
awesome.
That's pretty cool. That is very, very cool. It is the day before the great day of Thanksgiving. I really, just the fact, and even though it's the Lions, it doesn't even matter. Lions, Texans.
No, it does. It does. It's a terrible game. No one wants to watch
it. I understand, but you'd rather have that than not.
No, I would rather have. I would rather have the Washington-Dallas game first, so I could be locked in, and then give me the Detroit game when I'm going to nap, after I have my first plate and I want to shut my eyes for a second.
When do you guys actually serve the dinner?
It depends. I don't know. We got so much stuff going on right now. Cassie goes. She's supposed to get a small turkey. She got a 20-pound turkey. It's humongous.
What, 20 pounds for how many people?
For us.
She got for the five.
Yes,
I can't even say the five of you, but I will. The five of you, and one who won't touch the turkey, a 20-pounder.
She got a 20-pound turkey, and then she got three turkey breasts, and then she also got a honey baked ham. And oh, by the way, thanks to one Christopher Kenny, because of yesterday's conversation, which, as you've noticed throughout the morning, it's just been hacked all over the place. Because that's apparently what we do in this business is we'll have a sweet potato pie to add to the dessert list.
Well, I don't think that's a mistake.
No, it's not a mistake. It's just more work. Now I got to make more pie. I have to make more pie crust.
20-pound turkey.
Big turkey.
Why?
Turkey sandwiches, I guess. You're asking the wrong person.
But forever?
Listen, into the new year,
turkey sandwiches?
I'm the garbage disposal. Whatever she cooks, I end up having to eat. So
you're not
going
to be able to.
No, not that's too much.
Because there's no way that the kids eat more than a scrap of turkey.
No, Milo, Milo's pretty good.
All right, I'll give you Milo.
And Cass does some work. She's breastfeeding, so she's crushing food right now. But yeah, there's three of us, two adults and one five-year-old. No, I'll be eating turkey. You're right.
New Year's Eve,
I'll be having a turkey sandwich.
Come Monday morning, you'll be no more turkey, please.
Yeah, no moss on the turkey.
Yeah, no moss on the turkey.
Why can't you be a good guy and ask me, why are we playing All I Do Is Win to open up the second segment?
Well, I thought he just randomly was playing it.
No.
Well, how would I know?
Nobody
told me that there's a purpose behind the song.
Well, it's a surprise. I thought, you're with how close we've become, you're supposed to know me.
So when when Santi just plays a song, I should know whether there's hidden meaning or it's just a song he's playing.
Well, I just know that you, I mean, you watch everything like me. I mean, big MLS upset last night, by the way, to the Revolution. But
which sadly I actually flipped on for a minute.
Of course you did.
And Sherry goes, really, really soccer?
Well, there was nothing on.
I mean, there was nothing.
This is frustrating for me just because, you know, when I got drafted by the Islanders, I fully embraced Long Island. Bought a house, taking BP with the Mets. Like, every affiliation I had with Boston teams was gone. Mets, Jets, Knicks. I was all in, right? You think when you have the opportunity to pick your teams, you would pick functional teams that occasionally win, which is clearly not the case. But for some reason, on a whim, I decide to pick a KBO team, the Dinos, and they win the championship.
The whole thing.
They won the whole thing.
Congratulations to you.
And they got a beautiful sword. Did you see the sword?
No.
That they got?
No.
So the company that owns the Dinos is NCSoft, and they make mobile games. So that one of their best, most popular games is Lineage, and the prized possession in that game is the Execution Sword. So they made it looks like the He-Man sword.
So they Fantastic. Won the whole thing this morning.
They won the whole thing, baby. Wow. Yeah, beat the Doosan Bears.
Terrific.
So things are trending up, buddy.
Oh, yeah. No, if you can get your KBO team to win the whole thing, I mean, clearly you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, but look at my sports teams, though. I got the Islanders Eastern Conference Finals, right? I got the Jets poised to get Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick.
New coaching staff, yes, pointing up, yep.
Yep. I got the New York Knicks, very active in the coaching market. Very, very active in the coaching market.
Yeah, they've hired lots of coaches.
Each player will have his own coach.
The
but
Mets.
We look like a functional. In the Mets and Stevie Cohen, baby.
Yep.
Look at us.
That's the beauty.
That is the beauty. I can't wait to have Buster on.
I know.
Figure out what's going on.
I know. You feel totally different when you talk about baseball now, don't you?
I feel very optimistic. I'm still, and you guys tried to yell at me yesterday, I'm still not happy that Charlie Morton signed with the Braves.
Well, I'm not thrilled about it either. But again, the Mets are going to do big things this offseason.
Which I agree with you. I can't wait to see it.
I know.
It's like, this is like knowing what you're going to get. Like when you ask Santa for something for Christmas, and you know.
This must be what Milo feels like on December 24th.
Or every single day, yeah.
Right? Yeah, right. some big news and some sad news also. This is it. The Michael K. Show's 2020 contest, it ends today in the 3 o'clock hour, which is kind of sad. The Michael K. Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. Today is your final day to cash in. But they're going out on a high note, Rick. Today, the guys are giving away $1,000 in cash. It's the 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. Again, for those that didn't hear, $1,000 in cash. Let's go to Mike in Jersey. Mike, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Great to talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your families, first of all.
You as well, Mike, to you and your entire family. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So, Dave, I often say that you're my spirit animal, and my fiance says that scares her for our future. But I'm,
hey, I got anniversary
you may
numbers,
be the only
number 17
crazier
coming
Giant
up, Mike.
Fan than me.
What'd you say?
You may be the only crazier Giant fan than me.
Yeah, I do love the Giants.
That being said, every Sunday I root for them like it's the Super Bowl, and I want them to win that individual game. The one thing that scares me about possibly winning the division isn't where we're going to be drafting, it's who's going to be doing that drafting.
Yeah, but I think that's a
I'm
fair
afraid
assessment.
That if we win, we keep Gettleman.
I think that's a fair concern. Now, I'm hoping, listen, Joe Judge seems to have a lot of power here, and I'm hoping that regardless of how the Giants wind up down the stretch here, winning the division or not, you know, 6-10, 7-9, whatever the case may be, that they'll move on from Gettleman. But I think that's fair. If you're that worried about if they win the division that Gettleman stays, Rick, I think that's really fair to be worried about.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be worried to the point where I wouldn't want my team to win the
NFC
East. No,
nothing.
Game.
Nothing, Mike, stands in the way of the Giants winning this division.
And oh,
you,
by the
correct?
Way, the reason why you've won absolutely. The division. And by the way, and thanks for the call, the reason why you would have won the division is because Dave Gettleman got it right with the quarterback, and the moves he's made this offseason were really good moves.
He's had a good offseason. You're right.
Hired the right coach.
Although, you don't know that you love the fourth overall selection, though.
Not yet. But listen, not every kid steps in right away.
Correct.
And is a finished product.
I agree with you.
The offensive line is trending better.
The offensive line is better. Look, you're running the football without Barkley. So that's good.
That's great. You're protecting
the quarterback. Alfred Morris, who's a journeyman at this point, and Wayne Gallman are running the football effectively. You got to feel good about that.
You have to.
James Bradbury was a terrific signing.
Dave, take a quick step back. Do you love the 3-7? No, you don't love the 3-7. You mentioned they probably should be 5-5.
They should be, yes.
But, you know, when you look at this team, over the last couple weeks especially, I mean, can you point to a lot of things that you're upset about?
Mm-mm.
You really can't.
No. No, you hammered Philadelphia. Like, you want to be a nitpicker? When you win the turnover battle by 5, the other team shouldn't have the football 10 yards away from a game-tying field goal. But you won the game on the road.
Exactly. On the road, you won the game. A win's a win, especially at this point. You take any win you can get.
And this is a
your
big
defense
one.
Has been good. Your special teams has been good. Your quarterback's been better. Jason Garrett's play calling has been good. Having Sterling Shepard back has been huge. Evan Ingram's showing signs.
Yeah, it's
all
coming
good
together,
things, man.
It feels like it's coming together.
You've had plenty of time over the last couple of years to root against your team to win because they've been brutal. Now they're showing you like now you can actually see the light a little bit, and you want to fall
keep
back
losing.
On old habits.
It's a, you know what it is. Losing? It's a loser's attitude, is what it is.
It's a defeatist mentality. It's ridiculous.
It's a loser's attitude. Now, I'm talking to Anthony Pusick, who's the producer for Barton On, and he's saying he's terrified of this game. I get that. You know what that means? That means you care. That means you're alive. That means that you actually have feelings.
What are you terrified about this game for?
Because it actually matters.
It matters, but I mean, trust your team a little bit. A little bit.
But I understand his concern. Because you never
know. What's the most important position in all of professional sports?
Quarterback.
Have you ever heard of the quarterback that's going to start for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Not familiar with his work, no.
Okay, and this is not the Jets, where you get the third-string quarterback who's thrown 9 career passes and you find a way to lose that. That's not what we're dealing with here. So, well-coached team, coming off a bye. I can imagine they'll be full of piss and vinegar because this is a chance to take over first place.
So as a neutral observer, and you pretty much are, you'd like to see the Giants win, but you're pretty much neutral. You fully expect the Giants to win this game.
I'm going to take the Giants in our picks.
Really?
Yes.
Now, you say that. When are these picks going to happen?
I figured we would call in. Like, I don't want to dabble with tomorrow's games because it'll ruin my Thanksgiving. You know that. It'll ruin my Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I figured, I would, maybe just send them in on Friday.
Send them in.
Or call in Friday, whatever you want to do. Or we could just take the week off of picks, if you'd like.
No, why would we take the week off?
Just because I hate them.
No. I think you, at a minimum, send them in. You'd send them in. What are you doing on Friday that you can't call with your picks?
Nothing in particular.
Yes, I think you should call. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on DCR, POV, the Shell, Pennzoil Performance Line. Let's go to James in New Providence. James, you're next up on 98.7.
How's it going? Really appreciative of the call. Happy Thanksgiving.
You as well, James.
So, I'm a big Giants fan. Room for them to win, get in the playoffs. But, besides the obvious points of why they should be doing that, I think that that them getting into the playoffs will provide more growth than getting a high draft pick. Because when you see Joe Judge in all these post-game press conferences, and they ask him, how does it feel to win? He always goes, it's just great to see my guys finally get the reward they've been working for all week. And that's how I kind of feel with this. If they can get into the playoffs, Ingram, Jones, Shepard, all of those guys, finally, they're finally going to actually have a chance to play for something. And I think that will make growth for them. You know what I'm saying?
And of course, James. And it also means that, and thanks so much for the phone call and happy Thanksgiving, that it means that your quarterback has played well down the stretch, which really is the one thing that your biggest question mark right now, isn't it?
That was the question that you needed answered.
Be answered. If you win this division, whether it's 6 wins or 7 wins, or even if it's 5, whatever it is, you have to imagine that the quarterback has played well down the stretch, right?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, and this is coming out of Detroit, where it looks like Matt Patricia's going to be fired, is that the biggest complaint from all those players is it's all the work with none of the winning.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing all this work, and there's nothing to show for it, which guys aren't going to buy into. And now to have Joe Judge, you know, to take this team to the postseason. And also, I mean, this would be for this team to win this division and host the playoff game, even if you lost, right? That's just, it's icing on the cake.
Yes.
That you made it to the playoffs. Why not have your young quarterback get his first postseason experience in a year where you have no expectations?
Yeah.
Why have it in a year? Like, say they don't. All of a sudden, you make some good moves now, and you have legitimate expectations for your team going into next year's playoffs.
Right. You go 10-6 next year, right? God willing. You win the division. You host a game. There's fans there. You're going to be expected to win that game.
And he lays an egg because it's his first time in the playoffs.
That's right.
In the postseason.
That's right. Yeah.
Get that out of the
opportunity. Look, listen, you and I are simpatico. I couldn't agree with you more. Is there any meaning behind this opening song here, by the way?
No, nothing.
Okay. Just figured I'd check. Never know. DCR brought to you by your local Honda dealers. Contact one for a great deal, and of course, do that today. We're going to go to Andy and Merrick in just a moment, but Rick, your Jets have a big game. Try to get off the schneid and get into the win column. I mean, Miami did not play a very good game this past weekend against Denver. They took out Tua. He's going to start again. Do you give the Jets any chance? Like, let me just ask you this. For the Jets to win, what needs to happen this week?
Well, remember, too, I mean, the last time the Jets played the Dolphins was down in Miami. They lost 24-0. They were down 21-0 at halftime. So I think when you watch the first half of that game against the Los Angeles Chargers was a couple big plays. You know, great play by Henry Anderson blocking the punt. You end up scoring a touchdown, you know, create a turnover at your one-yard line, and then before you know it, you're trailing by a point. And then from that point on, it was the offense stalled. So, I mean, you have to find a way to be better on third down, stay on the field. Defensively, you have to be better on third down. You have to get off the field. And I think as far as Miami is concerned, with Tua, what Denver did really well is, first and foremost, they stopped the run. And they put it on the young quarterback. And they took away his first read, so it forced him to hold on to the ball for that second or two more than he needed to. And they sacked him 6 times.
Yeah. It was the first game that I watched him and thought to myself, this is a rookie. Like, this is a quarterback who this game is in a bit overwhelming for him at the moment.
He looked overwhelmed. He didn't trust what he saw. And the other thing I will say about the Jets, they need to do a better job of, you have to find a way to get your wide receivers involved earlier in the game. You can't go into halftime having your three best playmakers targeted twice and have 0 receptions.
Yeah, and Mims was, I mean, terrific in the second half. So get that production in the first half, take some shots downfield, and maybe have a puncher's chance in this game against probably a team that's better than you in Miami.
And you saw Chris Herndon had his best game. Had that bad drop, he bounced back, made a great catch, had a touchdown. Yeah. So
touchdown, yep.
And you're going to see a steady dose of Frank Gore because it looks like, you know, you got P. Ryan on the IR.
Yeah. So in case you're not sure of the future of Frank Gore, you'll get to really get a test for him this weekend against Miami. All right. Good stuff on the Jets. Let's bring him in. The great, the talented, the theme song man, Andy and Merrick.
Good morning, DCR. How are you, boys?
Good morning.
Better
Andy,
now.
How are you?
I can promise you that. Better now, Andy. Come strong, baby.
Before I get to my hump day hockey questions, let me wish 39, 99, DR, Ray and the boys in the studio, and the entire 98.7 team a very happy Thanksgiving. 2020 has been a miserable year, but you guys have made it a little bit more palatable.
Well, same to you and yours, Andy, and thanks for the very kind words.
So today is all about the captains.
Okay.
I'm Sully.
Oh, okay.
There we captain, go. My captain. Thank you, Michael.
See, I see what happened there.
About that, Captain.
You told Santiago get these drops ready, and he was a little slow on the trigger there. I see.
He's eating, dipping into the turkey a little early. This is about the captains who wear the C on the sweater. Ready, Ricky?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. This is the youngest permanent captain in the NHL history at just age 19. Name him.
Was it McDavid?
McJesus is correct, Connor McDavid. This all-time great was a captain for his team for almost 20 years, the longest tenure in NHL history. Name him.
I think it's the Canadians, Rick?
Mm-mm-mm.
Iserman?
That's it, Stevie Y, baby. All right. There have been many great captains that have hoisted the cup 4 times. Denny Potsan, Wayne Gretzky. But there's only one captain who's raised the cup 5 times. Can you name him?
Is this old? Is this old?
It's got to be.
Oh, old-time school, old-time hockey.
Is this Canadians?
Canadians.
Beliveau?
Beliveau's correct. Way to go, Ricky.
Thank you, my
And man. Finally, this all-time great defenseman was the first captain born and trained in Europe to lead an NHL team to a Stanley Cup title. Think 2008.
It's got to be the Red Wings then, right?
Lidstrom?
The Swedish meatball himself, Nicky Lidstrom. Well done, fellas. Hey, guys, as always, let's be careful out there, especially when you're picking up the cornbread later, Dave. And stay healthy, boys.
Thank you, Andy. Outstanding stuff, as
always.
Yeah,
that was, you know what, of the conversation we had yesterday about sweet potato pie, we got done with the show and I was thinking to myself, when, if ever, would Dave, a Jewish kid from Long Island, ever have the opportunity, a guy who's buying his own cornbread, not making his own cornbread,
right,
ever been exposed to sweet potato pie?
No. I don't know that I ever have.
I don't think you've ever, you probably never had a slice of sweet potato pie.
No. I'm willing to take on that gamble, though.
Oh, I'll make you up a nice. Once we get back in studio in like 2022, I'll give you a delicious.
In 2022. All right. Let's bring him in. One of our favorite guests. Happened to talk to him before the Thanksgiving holiday, and that, of course, is Buster Olney. Good morning, Buster. How you doing?
What's going on, guys?
We're hungry for free agents, as Mets fans, on the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I can understand that. I think you're going to have to wait. It's going to be like the post-Thanksgiving rush, more likely, when they start getting into it. You know, I've talked to some agents, folks around baseball last night and today, and, you know, my question to them was, you know, how organized do you feel like the Mets are right in this moment? And the response that I got back was, not especially. You know, that the sense of the Mets is the Mets are, while they're, you know, they're doing the business of baseball and making contact with other teams, that they're scrambling as Sandy works to find his general manager. But I don't think it matters this offseason because there's just so few teams that are spending money. The agents are saying that right now their sense is that there are only two teams that are going to be aggressive. One are the Mets and the other is the Blue Jays. And while, you know, there'll be other teams that'll be making some moves, at this moment, when we're talking about free agents and teams ready, signaling to be aggressive right now, just the Mets and the Blue Jays. And so I think whenever the Mets are ready to do business, the agents for the big free agents are going to be sitting and waiting for their phone calls.
Buster, what was the impetus for Sandy not to hire a president of baseball operations? Just the guy they wanted wasn't available?
I think that's probably part of it. You know, I have not confirmed this. I would not at all be shocked if they did call on David Forst, who, you know, works for the Oakland Athletics. Sandy knows, from his time there, that they called the Indians about Chris Antonetti. They may have essentially had a lot of their overtures deflected. There is the sort of the pie in the sky dream about Theo. But I don't think that's anything that's going to happen anytime soon. Maybe in a year from now, Theo will be in a better place, emotionally to be ready to dive back into something. Maybe, you know, the Mets and Sandy are ready to be ready to talk to him at that point. I just don't think the timing was right. If Steve Cohen had been put in place in August and then Sandy was put in place and they had lined up all those conversations, I think they would have been in a better spot. So I think it's going to be more of, as Sandy said the other day, he's going to oversee things and they'll wind up making a hire for a GM. And I wish I could tell you who that's going to be, but I don't know.
But Buster, being realistic, is it two guys in a trade free agent wise? Is it three free agents? Like set the expectations realistic, but certainly excited for the Mets fan heading into this free agency period. Like what do you think we can expect here?
And great stuff. I talked to a source the other day about their situation. He said, you know, all the things you're hearing about them going after the big dogs, he said, it's all true.
Nice.
They are lined up to do that. And, you know, they're in a position to do that. They've never had that massive big market payroll that, that the franchise and the fans deserve. And so they're going to be able to grow from there. Now they're going to be able to use some of the Cano money. And I think given the fact that it's, as we've talked about before, it is a depressed free agent market with some of the numbers on some of these premier guys coming down, they're going to be in a great position to take advantage of that. As I said, the Blue Jays are signaling to people they're all in on some of these big names, and the Mets are too. And besides that, there's scant interest. And so it's a great chance if you're the Mets and you want to, you know, you want to find your long-term solution at shortstop in Francisco Lindor. If you are aggressive, then you're going to have an excellent chance to get him. If you're aggressive on George Springer, you're going to, and that's the guy who I think is the most likely guy to wind up among the four we've talked about with the Mets. You're going to wind up with a good chance of getting him. If you're aggressive on JT, Real Muto, who's the best catcher in baseball by far, you're going to have a great chance to get him. You're essentially, I think, in some respects, the Mets, because of the position they're in, they're going to be able to essentially have their pick of the litter. And you do wonder about some of these premier guys, how the, you know, the situation with the Blue Jays, the fact that they don't even know where they're going to be playing at the beginning of next year will be a factor for how some of these free agents think.
Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, Dave yelled at me yesterday because he's all, I mean, he's in full-blown love with Steve
Cohen.
I'm
all in, Buster. I can't help. I'm not going to lie. I won't do it.
So he yelled at me yesterday because he brought up the Charlie Morton news. And I was like, I'm a huge Mets fan. I said, that bothers me a little bit. I mean, he's going to the best team in the division. And when you look at their pitching staff, I mean, that's a huge addition for the Braves.
It's a big one. And I will tell you this. I mean, just in talking with the teams that were involved in this, they say that all along the feeling that they got was Charlie was either going to go back to the Rays, which is, you know, the team closest to his home in Florida, or he was going to sign with the Braves, the team that drafted him. Those were the only two that go along. But if you're the Mets, you should rightfully be fearful of the Braves. You know, they've won the National League East. They have this tremendous group of young players. They have the reigning MVP, and their rotation is, without a doubt, right now, the deepest and best in baseball in terms of the quality from the beginning. When you're talking about Soroka and Fried, you know, the addition of Drew Smyly, Charlie Morton, Ian Anderson, you know, the Albany kid, and then the depth behind him, Kyle Wright, Bryce Wilson. Kyle Wright pitched well at the end of the regular season. Bryce Wilson had that great appearance in the postseason. They're set up in a way that, you know, other teams are not. I had a general manager say to me yesterday, look, if you're Alex Anthopoulos, now you're sitting back, the general manager of the Braves, you're sitting back, you're just waiting for that slugger that you're going to sign on a short-term deal to be the DH. You're going to sign a second catcher, and your winter work is pretty much done. Like, that team is ready to go for 2021.
Yeah, they're a monster team. They really are very well run. Buster only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So you mentioned Springer. You like his chances with the Mets. Real Muto as well. Bauer is the one that it feels like the Mets fan just desperately wants to have that 1-2 punch of DeGrom and Bauer. Where do you, and I know it's early, and I know a lot of things can happen, but do you get a sense that he's going to wind up with the Mets, or are you very unsure about him right now?
I'm unsure. I don't feel like I have as good of a feel with that one. You know, it might just simply be, it's kind of like, I mean, the comparison I think we should make all winter is Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson. They're the people sitting at the poker table, the massive pile of chips, right? And all the other teams are sitting there with these small pile of chips. And if at any point they want, you know, Trevor Bauer, or they want JT, or they want Springer, or they want Lindor, and they shove that pile of chips in the table, the other, everyone else is going to fold.
Buster, there's really no reason for Steve Cohen to go out and try to set the market. He can wait.
Yes, 100%. And I would expect, too, just listening to him talk and, you know, how he's made his business, and also, and this has been pointed out to me by other general managers, that, you know, the expectation of, you know, the media, maybe some Mets fans, that the Mets are just going to go out and, you know, sign a bunch of huge checks and just pay retail and everybody. They're like, that's not how Sandy operates. You know, Sandy's going to has enough experience to read where the market's going to be. But they do have the power to get the players they want. And I don't, and I know, of course, they want Trevor. The question is, what does Trevor want? You know, does he decide he wants the one-year deal for $40 million? Or, you know, does he want the big, massive multi-year deal? That's where agents are saying he really needs to take that, given where baseball's finances are. But we'll just have to wait and see and what kind of priority is. I would say this. I mean, if you want to get the best available catcher, there's only one option. You know, JT Realmuto is, as a GM said to me, it's very rare that you have a player who's by far the preeminent player at his position the way that JT is. You know, George is uniquely, Springer is uniquely positioned as a right-handed hitter who can play center field, balance the lineup, you know, for a local kid, he checks all those boxes. You can, Trevor is clearly the best free agent pitcher, But there are other options in the market, you know, whether it's Jake Odorizzi, who's not going to be as expensive, whether it's, you know, trying to work out a deal with the Tampa Bay Rays for Blake Snell. There are some alternatives to Trevor in the market.
Yeah, but I would say if you're only going to get two, like if you're telling me I only get two of the four, when I look at the Mets pitching staff, I would probably put most of the emphasis on the pitching staff, even the bullpen. Because when you look at their, I mean, you look at their starting rotation, I mean, Peterson was good, but how many innings is he going to give you next year? I mean, if Lugo's in the rotation, how many innings is he going to give you? And your bullpen still is a little bit shaky. Buster, I want to ask you about the Yankees quick. So I heard Aaron Boone yesterday talk about, you know, Gary Sanchez. You can't trade him, obviously. I mean, he's at the lowest value he's going to ever be at. Do you see this as Gary Sanchez going to be with the Yankees, and then, you know, they try to add a Yadi Molina or someone to pair with him?
And I'd say this, too, that there is a high volume of good catchers in the marketplace. So if you are, you know, underneath JT, you've got a lot of guys like James McCann, veterans who you could bring in. And that might be the type of guy that the Yankees could turn to on a 1 or 2 year deal that wouldn't be that expensive. You know, what I've heard from other teams is they don't get the sense that the Yankees are, yeah, we're going to dump this guy. Yeah, we're definitely going to trade him. I think there is a lot of intrigue in the industry about whether or not the Marlins, because of the background of their player development people, their front office, might be in the end a good match for the Yankees and Sanchez if they find a deal. You know, they've got a surplus of young players. Not to say that the Yankees are going to get, you know, a big return, but maybe you get a useful reliever or two. That sort of thing, I think, would be the expectation. I've heard from people within the organization that there are people who are ready to move on, and because they do have concerns about the combination of defense, but I don't get the sense that that's what Brian Cashman's communicating to other teams, and that's, in the end, you know, he's the one who's going to make the decision on that. But there are, you know, a lot of questions, and we saw it play out in the postseason about whether or not Gary's going to be able to bounce back.
Buster, only with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we're on the Yankees. Let me ask you about DJ LeMahieu. He's the million-dollar question this offseason for this team. And I've heard Washington's name thrown out there, and I've heard Toronto's as well. But as we sit here late November, do you still think Yankees, or are you unsure on that one?
I still believe that unless the Blue Jays or the Mets, again, these are teams that in the current context, they seem to be able to position themselves above and beyond where a lot of the other teams are going to be willing to spend, unless DJ becomes the absolute priority for those teams, that the Yankees are still in the end going to wind up being in the ballpark. And there is a great awareness in the organization about how important DJ is to the team and how much of a leader he's considered to be and how much of a body blow it's going to feel like the players in the clubhouse if they don't re-sign him. So they value him, but I do think it just has to play out where, you know, we find out exactly where the Mets are, we find out where the Blue Jays are and how far they're willing to go on him. The other teams that you mentioned, you know, I had a source tell me this morning that he's just not sure that while it's one thing to call and, you know, DJ's agent say, yeah, we have interest in the player, it's a whole other thing to put an offer on the table in a winter in which all these payrolls are being scaled back and there's so many options available in trade. You know, do you want to give 60, 80, you know, $90 million to DJ LeMahieu, or you know what? You could just call the Cubs and get Chris Bryant for 1 year on for $18 million with a whole lot less risk. There's a lot of that type of shopping that's going to be going on.
Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, last one for me. I could see it happening. I don't know how financially they make it work, but apparently they could make it work. Is there really any chance that the Dodgers end up with Nolan Arenado when this is all said and done?
I don't think so. I talked to people in the Dodgers organization, and they threw a complete wet blanket on that whole conversation. You know, for a million different reasons. First off, you look at the Dodgers' recent history. You know, they are not in the business, other than Mookie Betts, of going out and signing players to these massive long-term contracts. And if you take on Arenado in the current marketplace, you know, he's paid under pre-COVID salary numbers. And so the Dodgers probably, in order to make it to even think about a deal for Arenado, would tell the Rockies, look, you know, you guys, and I'm pulling the numbers out of a hat, you guys have to eat 30-40% of his salary in order to make this work, along the lines of what the Rangers did with Alex Rodriguez when they traded him to the Yankees. What do you think the Rockies' reaction to that would be? Wait, we're going to give our division rival our best player, our most prominent player, and we're going to pay most of his salary? Forget it. And here's the other thing, too. Everyone loves Nolan in baseball, and they love his passion. They love how hard he plays. But he does remind you of guys like Dustin Pedroia, where, Ken Caminiti back in the day, where these guys who are diving all over the place, there is a concern about how long they'll be able to hold up. Nolan plays as hard and as aggressively as anyone we've seen, and you wonder what, how in his mid-30s that will manifest.
We started in Mets. Let's close Mets. Robinson Cano, obviously not going to be with this team for the year. Does he come back to the Mets? Do they buy him out? Do they eat a lot of that salary and move on from him, or do you think he comes back for the Mets next season?
First off, if you're paying him, if you're locked into paying him $40 million, I'd at least want to see him at the beginning of spring training in 2021 to see if there's any hope. But I will tell you guys this about the timing of all this and how it's being perceived. During, the COVID shutdown, baseball basically stopped PED testing, okay? And they didn't really resume that, from what I've been told, until the end of August. The perception is that the educated guess is that Robinson, because he got nailed for an old-fashioned steroid, Stanozol, and the guess among people in baseball is that, you know what, because there was no testing in July, no testing beginning of August, that there might have been guys who might have felt like, oh, okay, let's go. And they're not going to test, then I'll go and do some things. And that may be what explains how much better Robbie looked in 2020 than he did the previous year. That's all going to be part of the evaluation that the Mets have to do. But, they're now among teams, people beginning to wonder, like, okay, these guys who had massive spikes in performance in 2020 at the end of the year, maybe that had something to do with it.
All right, Buster, listen, great stuff. Have a terrific holiday. We always appreciate when you join us for a few minutes, and we will talk to you very soon. And the second the Mets are active and making moves, we're calling you.
I'll be dying to talk to you. This is going to be so much fun this winter, seeing them active.
Great stuff. Buster, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you.
See you. Bye.
All right. There you go. How good
is this? One of my favorite guests of all time. One of my favorite guests of all time.
Oh, he's the best. But how good is this?
Did you hear him too, though? Did kind of allude to? Because I was going to ask the question, but I felt like I didn't have to ask it. The DH, which is important for the Mets. We got to have the DH. We have to.
You have the DH and then Dom Smith or Alonzo or,
it's critical.
McNeil or, any one of these guys.
Can you really have? I mean, you asked the question, but can you? I mean, to Buster's point, we talked about this. I mean, how much better Robinson Cano was this year, as opposed to the previous year?
Offensively, he was very good.
Oh, for what reason?
Well, I think you have your answer.
Okay, so you're gonna now clean. You saw how bad he was clean. You're gonna want him around for two more years at $40 million?
No. Just the opposite for me. I don't want him ever to suit up again for the Mets.
And Brody killed us with this deal.
He was Brody. Thank God you got Steve Cohen, because Brody made moves that it takes a guy with $15 billion to get out from under from.
Yeah, but it aggravates me now because under the current circumstances, with Steve not having suffered the loss, like he's going to be plenty of losses because the Mets just were so poorly run. He's going to lose money, and that's fine with him. But he also, Buster said it. He's the guy at the table with all the chips. But just think about the amount of moves. Like, had we not given away as many prospects as we gave away in some brutal moves, we gave a prospect away for Mariznick. We gave a prospect away for Billy Hamilton. Stroman didn't even pitch for us.
Right.
We gave away two prospects for him.
And not even to mention the Seattle one, yeah.
Well, the Seattle one, that's the glaring one. That may be the worst move ever. But, Lindor's available in trade. Arenado's available. You have your pick of some of the best players in baseball right now. And the reason why Sandy wouldn't do it, you've heard Sandy a couple different times. Lindor is awesome, dude. Like, if you told me right now Lindor was our shortstop, I would be ecstatic. But he's like, we have no depth in our farm system. Like, I would rather go free agency because I don't want to give up more prospects.
They want to build up the farm system. You're right. They have been put in a position of distress. If this was more Wilpons owning the team and running the team and Brody Van Wagenen, it would be the same laughing stock moving forward.
You get Lindor. He's only,
Was he 26?
But that's Cano's money right there.
Right. Yes.
Like, he makes, you're going to have to sign him after the season. You'll sign him to an extension. But that's the $20 million right there. Yeah. And then you sign Springer.
You're in position.
You get Bauer.
You're in great position to navigate how you want. And you know what the nice thing is? The Mets are going to set the market. Like, this free agency is going to go as the Mets have it move forward. You've never had that happen.
No, and especially because there's only a couple teams that want to spend money.
Right.
So you're not going to, you shouldn't
have to
overpay.
He said the Mets in Toronto, is it really?
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have to overpay. I mean, unless all of a sudden, you know, Toronto is, you know, a guy that you want.
But even if you lose out on the one guy that they're going to go crazy for, it still leaves you a lot of talent available.
But, I mean, let's be honest, because hockey's dealing with the same thing. If you were DJ LeMahieu and the Mets made you an offer that was a little less than the Blue Jays, not knowing what it was going to, like, where were we going to play? Like, are we going to start the season in Toronto? Will it be, like, we have no idea. I mean, wouldn't you probably lean towards signing with the Mets?
Yes.
You like New York.
Yeah, because you're New York. You're familiar with New York. You've succeeded in New York. Absolutely, that's where you'd
And stay. If Trevor Bauer wants a one-year deal, I'm all in for the one-year deal.
I'll give him 1 year and $40 million.
Whatever you want. Like, let's figure it out. Let's see if he can actually pitch in New York.
And then you can throw him every 3 days.
Well, yeah. I mean, but, I mean, even just to get, like, how many times have we seen it fail in New York? Like, you know, it's not the same in New York. So you're telling me for 1 year, I get to audition him in New York and see how good he is?
I absolutely would. Although I got to tell you, I think that guy in New York would own it.
Oh, I think so too. I hope so. But I mean, he's talking about JT Realmuto. I love JT Realmuto. He's a catcher. I mean, he's not playing 150 games.
No, he's playing 5 days a week, if you're lucky.
When you look at the Mets pitching staff, right, it's DeGrom, who you love, best pitcher in baseball. Stroman. Peterson will be on an innings limit.
Yes.
Syndergaard coming back from Tommy John.
You don't know Lugo. When or how effective.
And Lugo, how many innings is Lugo going to give you?
Yeah, no, I think you need Bauer. I agree with you.
You got to build up the depth. Have to.
But there's none of these guys that you can say you don't need. You need Springer. You need Realmuto. You the one you probably need the least is Lindor.
Well, no, but I mean, Lindor is, I mean, he serves a bunch of different purposes. I mean, he's unbelievable defensively. And
I'm not saying you don't want him. I'm not saying he's not an upgrade.
I would say money-wise, like, I could live with paying a whole hell of a lot less on a much shorter-term deal with James McCann if it means I'm getting Springer and Bauer.
Right, or Zunino, or Molina. Yeah, I love Molina.
Yeah, I know, but McCann is probably that second guy if you're not going to get Realmuto.
That's fine. No, you're not going to get an argument from me. All right, we want to remind you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, hey, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. Today on ESPN Daily, Jeremy Lin rocketed to basketball stardom with the Knicks when Linsanity swept through sports after a 2019 season. In China, Lin gives a candid, in-depth interview about his hope for an NBA return on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. And observations coming your way in about 10 minutes from right now on 98.7. Let's bring him in. Friend of the program joins us every single Wednesday right around this time, and that is Dan Graziano, NFL Insider. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
We are terrific. Giants fans are very excited for Thanksgiving in the New York area. I want to ask you, and you might have an answer that just you don't know. Do you know anything about Brandon Allen at all? Is he going to start a quarterback for the Bengals this Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, he started 3 games last year for the Broncos. Remember the Broncos started everybody. But, you know, I mean, he played okay. He kicked around for a little while. He was back up out in L.A. with the Rams. And, you know, he's been around a little bit. Look, I mean, he's been on their practice squad. They started Ryan Finley last year for a stretch, and they know what he brings and, more importantly, doesn't. So they feel good about Brandon Allen and feel like he deserves a shot. It's not the greatest spot because, as you guys know, the Giants' defense is kind of an underrated unit this year. They've been playing well. They're not easy to score points against. So, you know, we'll see. But, look, the Giants have film on Finley in the Bengals' offense. They don't have film on Allen in the Bengals' offense. So maybe Cincinnati feels like this is worth a shot because, you know, they got to try something.
Dan, when you look at the NFC East,
that's
all they got. And I'm going to ask this question for Dave because he's so excited. So you got Washington, Dallas tomorrow. Dave's hoping that Washington wins because you've already beaten Washington. When you look at the NFC East, is it fair to say that right now in this moment that the Giants are playing the best football in that division?
Yes, but that's damning with faint praise. I think, you know, they are. I like the way the Giants play. Like, they're they're fun and they're exciting because you can see kind of how it's coming together under Joe Judge. And you can imagine it with Saquon Barkley plugged in and the difference that might make. And, you know, an off season, if they have a good off season with the draft and free agency and put some pieces around Daniel Jones, and, you know, was it two games in a row with Daniel Jones hasn't turned it over? Like, that's the best part, right? If you're a Giants fan, because that's what he has to fix. So, yeah, I think I don't think they're a fun team for people to play. I mean, personnel wise, do they have enough to win the NFC East? Maybe, but, you know, is that okay? Like, would you rather like have a non-playoff team draft pick, or would you rather be picking like 22nd this year? So I think it's fun. I think it's a fun time to be a Giants fan in that there's a clear direction and there's hope. And in terms of who wins the NFC East this year, I'm just not sure it's that big a deal.
All right, but let's have this question, because you kind of posed it out there. Yeah. And we've had this conversation today and the last couple of days on the station. What would you rather? Would you rather win the division and host a playoff game, or would you rather go 4-12 and wind up with a 6th overall selection this offseason?
Well, who am I? Am I the owner of the team, or am I a fan of the team?
You're a fan of the team.
Actually, you know what? Because a home playoff game doesn't even make the difference to the owner anymore this year.
Not financially, no.
Fans there anyway, so you're not going to make any money off the home playoff game. So, yeah, maybe. I mean, look, I think I find it hard to believe that people truly connected with the team, you know, put the game on every week and root for the team to lose. Like, I think you always want, when you watch your team, you probably want them to win the game, but that's why you do it. But, yeah, big picture, sure. I mean, you could make the case that the Giants would be better off not winning the division because the pick would be much different. Well, let's look. We have right now they're projected to pick 9th in our, you know, when we do the thing where we project where the draft picks will end up based on the remaining schedule and where they stand now. The Eagles, as division champions, would be projected to pick what? If they had the last of the playoff team drafted.
I guess that's 18, right? Or 19?
So, yeah, something like that. So, yeah, I think it's, I mean, it makes a difference. In terms of that range of the draft, like if you're not in the top 5, maybe you can argue that it doesn't make that big a difference. But, you know, I think they need picks, and they need the picks to be good. And, you know, if you can get a better one, so much the better. I'm not suggesting they should lose or that people should root for them to lose, but yeah, I think winning this year's NFC East is not necessarily going to be a ticket to the Super Bowl, right? So I think the key focus, if you're a Giants fan, is the direction of the team, the way that they play under Joe Judge, and feeling good about what the future might possibly hold.
Yeah, but Dan, isn't that, I mean, yeah, winning the NFC East is, I mean, that's nothing to, you know, to phone home about, but it is, I mean, you're going to give your young quarterback, this team, the opportunity to get some experience in a playoff game, meaningful football.
Sure.
But also, I mean, wouldn't you hate to have it where this team does, you know, all of a sudden, you know, start to lose these football games, Daniel Jones is turning the football over, and you don't have a top 3 pick, you have the 6th overall pick, and you don't feel like you have your quarterback? That would be a terrible place to be.
Yeah, it would, because if you need to go think about a quarterback, you don't want to be picking 19th, so... Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm saying, like, you can tie yourself up in knots over this stuff, right? I mean, like, for the Jets fan, it seems pretty cut and dried right now because you have a shot to get number 1, and that, you know, who you would take. So if you're talking about, do you want to be picking 6th or 9th or 17th, or, you know, I'm just not sure what a difference that makes. I would enjoy, you know, feeling good and hopeful about the team and monitor progress versus the standings at this point.
And you're going to be playing meaningful football into December, especially if you win this game on Sunday against Cincinnati, which matters, which is what Wellington Mara's old adage always was, right? Give me meaningful football the final 4 games of the season.
I mean, you know, like, yeah, I'm kind of making both arguments here, but like, if you get in the playoffs...
Take a side, Dan. Come on.
We have a shot, right? I mean, you get hot, and all of a sudden Daniel Jones turns into, you know, Joe Flacco or Eli Manning for one great January, then all of a sudden, you know, maybe something incredible happens. Unlikely, but maybe.
Oh, God, imagine that.
God all right, Dan. For Dave's safety.
I just lost control. Like, I lost all function here.
I wrecked Thanksgiving for Dave.
Yeah, you really have. I don't even know. I forgot who
you
we're talking
about. Wrecked
Dan Graziano,
that's
who, on 98.7 ESPN. Dan, what outside, I guess I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. How are they playing this game tomorrow night between Baltimore and Pittsburgh?
So, you go back to the beginning of the season when they were postponing games. There were a couple factors at work. One is, of course, that there were places to put them, right? There were bye weeks and you could move things around. No longer the case. There's only two teams that have their byes left, and it's Carolina and Tampa next week. So the rescheduling is more difficult. Not that that's the primary concern, but it's one of the issues. The other thing is we're a couple months into this now, and the league has adapted its procedures and its reactions to positive tests in a way that the science and experience directs them to. So they feel like they have a procedures in place that will limit the spread within the team facilities, right? Meetings are being done virtually. You're supposed to wear masks on the practice field. If you're not following the procedures and you have an outbreak, then that's kind of on you. And if you have to play shorthanded, then that's kind of your fault. That's a cold way to put it, but it's not completely out of line with the way it's being presented to teams. So if they feel like there's more spread and the Ravens can't be together in the same place to play a game tomorrow night, then they'll postpone the game. They'll find something to do with it. If they feel like the spread is limited and it's generating from outside the facility, like community transmission, right? Somebody got it, somebody's kid brought it home from school, or somebody got it at the supermarket, then that's different from, hey, it's spreading in the team facility because people are having contact in meeting rooms or weight rooms, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of moving parts. Where it gets weird is, do you postpone the game because the Ravens are shorthanded? And I think that's probably not likely to happen. I think the answer is you postpone the game if you feel like it's not safe to play it. But in terms of the Ravens being shorthanded, that's kind of like a tough luck situation this year. You saw the 49ers were shredded in their last game, right? It was a primetime game, and they barely had enough starting players to play it. Obviously, they have injuries too. But, I think what you're going to see here going forward is the league is going to lean very hard toward, can we get this game played? And you're going to have to come up with a lot of reasons not to in order to get it postponed at this point, because there just aren't a lot of places to move these games on the schedule.
Yeah. Dan Graziano joins us here on the show. Dan, speaking of Baltimore, in your mind, what do you see with this team? What's going on? I mean, they were a juggernaut last season. It just seems like they offensively just aren't nearly as dynamic as they were last season.
I think there's a big picture perspective to say, like, look, everything they did last offseason in terms of evolving the offense and putting in stuff for Lamar Jackson worked like a charm, and they had this monster year, and he wins MVP, and they win 14 games. Whereas this offseason, just because every year is different, whatever they put in didn't click, and it's not working as well. And, you know, it's probably unrealistic to expect them to go 14-2 every year, but they probably should have been better offensively this year than they have been. Detail-wise, if you drill down on it, the numbers we're seeing indicate that their run game just isn't as effective between the tackles. They're not sustaining drives. Last year, their average drive covered 40 yards. It was the number one figure in the league. This year, their average drive covers about 31 yards. That's the 24th highest figure in the league. That's a pretty big difference. You know, they're not gaining as many yards on first and second down, so they're in longer distance to go on third downs. And, how do you explain that? Well, nobody ever likes to talk about offensive line, but Marshall Yanda was a really outstanding interior offensive lineman for them who retired this offseason, and they haven't effectively replaced him. Run game problems could generate off of something like that, and the margins in this league are very small, and it doesn't take much to swing it the other way. So they're dealing with a few things that are structural, and I think a few things that are related to scheme as well.
All right, Dan, great stuff as always. Have a safe, wonderful holiday, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys, thanks for having me. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you and everyone who's listening.
That, of course, is the great Dan Graziano. All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN Thanksgiving Eve Day. And what would that be without an observations?
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Nobservations.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, boys, happy Thanksgiving. I guess since it's just the two of you today, I will handle the observations for you.
Oh, I didn't know that. Welcome, Raymond.
Surprise. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll play a quick game of Did It Happen in Florida? Man sues the doctor. A man was experiencing depression as a result of his failing marriage, so he went to his family physician who counseled him on ways to improve his marriage and prescribed him some marijuana and CBD. The patient now claims in a lawsuit that all along the doctor, Ronald Rosen, was having an affair with his wife. In a complaint filed Monday, local musician and financial advisor Pearson Tone seeks $2.9 million from Rosen for professional negligence. Did this happen in Florida?
Ooh, that's a beauty. I'm going to say, did it happen in Florida? I'm going to say no, not Florida.
That's so selfish. You know what would make this affair even better? If we had some free weed.
Yeah.
I'll go with Dave. He's on fire. I'll say it didn't happen in Florida.
Yeah, basically Florida, Northwest, Oregon, guys, Oregon. Bend, Oregon.
Bend, Oregon.
That's too much.
It's too perfect. We got time for one more real quick.
Yeah, please.
All right.
Yeah,
have you guys seen this whistle mask? You know, it's a mask-up society. We have to wear the mask. We have to have the mask when we're out, right?
Yes.
So when you're playing a game of organized sports like basketball and there's referees involved, the referees have masks, but they need to account for the whistle. So how do you solve that? The whistle mask. Karen Howell on Twitter with the picture of it. My cousin took these pictures of a whistle mask. If I had to see it, you have to see it too. The best way I can describe it, guys, is if you've ever seen SpongeBob SquarePants, there's a character called Squidward. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you're concealing something in your face mask. Looks like Renan's mask.
Oh, no. Thanksgiving, don't
That's
do
what
that.
What it looks like. What are you going to tell you?
A little protrusion from the mask, huh?
Yeah. It looks like a boner on your face. That's what it looks
That'll
like.
That'll do it for the observations, boys.
Lovely. Happy Thanksgiving, Raymond, Rick, everybody out there. I'll be back Friday from 9 to noon, but have a great Thanksgiving. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Eat like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.